Why are the Jedi so dumb?
It's because it's a lantern now. They're all against us.
Damn you, mother!
I'm ascending.
All right, let's go.
I'm thinking about the show deeply, like I, you know, always do, right? And they say the he, they, and yeah. I did not, it didn't register. I'm like, who are they talking to? I'm like, they cannot be talking to that little creature. I mean, that
like
I
animal. Thought, that,
yeah, I know. I was like, they're dropping this on this animal. I was shocked. And so I doubted myself. And I thought, well, I guess I'll find out talking to both of you tonight. Because it just didn't register. I was like, huh? It was bizarre to me.
I picked up on it immediately. And because I knew that ahead of time that there was supposed to be a moment. And this was that moment. And I thought to myself, it's like, why are we stopping there? Like, why did it go he or they? Like, it could be a she. We don't know. Why are we stopping with just those two?
It was just dropped in there with no context, exploration, sense. It was just weird. And the fact it was an animal.
Yes, you in the back?
Yes, thank you. That scene was dropped in there solely for that purpose. Just to have that put in the move in the show. That's the only reason why it was there. It was so specifically placed right there about a friggin' rat.
About a rat. That's
It's weird with Star Wars too, because every Star Wars thing that I grew up watching, it's not like we ever met an alien race and it's like, oh, who are they? They're new. They're alien to us. It's kind of at a place where like it's known, everyone's discovered already.
Yeah.
You know? So the fact that she's questioning this being, it felt out of place for Star Wars.
But and they also hedged. They hedged by using this cute little creature. Just use a person. Like, if you're going to do this, go for it. Go all the way. Use a person. Or don't even make it a question. Just assert it. Like, this person by they. We're going to use that. We're not going to explain ourselves. We're not going to justify. And that we're talking about a human being this way. Don't drop it in this ambiguous way where you're talking about an animal. So this part audience will be okay with it, kind of, but not this. Like, just have some nuts and go for it. If you're going to do it, just do it.
Yeah. That's the thing with this show so far is that it pussyfoots around things.
Yeah.
You know? And it's like you said, like just have the gall to just go for what you want to go for. You have a statement, make the statement. You know? But it almost feels like they're doing it on purpose because it's like they know it's at a place now where it's like, we're gonna anger people. Let's anger people. You know, let's get them talking. And it's like that's not why you write material like this. It's to entertain us, not just to get us to talk.
From what I can see is this show so far has no balls because the Force is female. For movies and video games, welcome to Replays It All. Today's episode is a review of The Acolyte episode 4. And we're here, George, Rob, we're here again. We already started. We're in it already. Yeah. And like we're saying, this show does not have any, it doesn't go there. And there's nothing confident about this show. It's not confident.
That's a good way of putting it.
This show has no gall. It has no heart. It has no anything. George, what is this episode about? Let's just tell us this episode about first. First, before we get into it, tell us about.
So in this episode, we're back in present day. And Osha's on her way out to leave. She's saying goodbye to the Jedi. She's getting back to her normal life. But we see Mei is on the planet of, what was the planet's name again? Kofar?
Kofar.
Right? Kofar. A planet Kofar away, trying to find the Jedi Wookiee. Yeah, I did it.
I loved it.
So, you know, so she can get her next mark, and she's with our boy Kamir. I don't know why I said our boy, like we care about him, but they're there together.
Like him.
I have a like for him, but like there's not a passionate like. You know what I mean? I could go either way. But yeah, we're trying to find the Wookiee so we can get rid of him and head on to the next objective. And of course, Sol has taken Osha and his little crew, and they're trying to stop it before it happens.
Let's start with you today, George. What is the what do you anything you liked about this episode?
it's a weird thing. Like we keep on going over this thing. It's not even a like or hate. It's like it's just there kind of attitude.
Yeah.
So like I'm cherry picking. I'm trying to like find things. So. there's essences of Star Wars, you know, like we got the Star Wars transitions.
Like,
which I didn't recall seeing in the first three episodes.
Yes, they were there.
They were there.
They
okay,
were there.
Just, they didn't feel prominent, I guess. But I felt it in this episode with, like, you know, the circle coming out and then the thing coming out. I pointed it out in my notes because when I first saw it, I was like, okay, that's nice that they put that in there. You know, because I just came off of watching Andor. Like, I finally actually watched all of Andor. That was so un-Star Wars to me that watching this, I was like, I'm seeing the Star Wars things, like, just pop out in my face. But yeah, it was overused. It's like it became like you know, it's like they're still not knowing how to use it. So positive is I did like seeing it. I mean, more practical stuff, you know. I like the little creature we talked about. I like that he was real. You know, they easily could have phoned it in and just CGI'd him and then forgot all about it. But the fact that it was a puppet,
he was CG'ing the face. His face was CG. Had to be.
Was he?
Yeah, because
he looked very. A lot of it felt really real. A lot of it felt really practical.
Was that face on Bezel CG or what? I feel like it was. I feel like the
maybe
face
if
was.
they were smart and combined the both together. That's the best way to do it. Mm-hmm. But you could tell there's a lot of puppetry within that character, which I appreciate. Is that Star Wars to me? When you mm-hmm. have physical things in there with the actors, they blue balled me at the end, but I got excited for like a hot second. Because I'm always going to get excited when lightsabers are drawn out and a battle's going to happen.
Watch out! Run!
Like, I just can't help. There's that child George that just gets happy, you know, just to see lightsabers and a battle. You know, I'll hate on the new trilogy all day long. But you know what? When Kylo Ren popped out with that lightsaber and the two things in the hilt, I'm like, that's badass. Yeah. All right, let's go. You know, it can't help it. But that was like for 2 seconds.
Hey, what about you, Rob? Anything you liked about
after watching? Yeah, after watching the episode, I'm like, oh, what am I going to say today? Because it's just didn't really grab me really much at all. However, George, I totally agree with you. At the end, I did kind of go, like, the lightsabers coming out, I was like, yeah, with all standing, you know, together in like that arc of lightsaber death. And when the master floats behind Osha's shoulder.
Yeah, yeah. It was ominous.
It was ominous the way it floated down silently. And they're like, what is that?
What is that?
Like
that.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
And it seemed super thin and kind of like a, do you know what I'm talking about? Like weirdly puppet moving? Creepy and
just a little ghastly coming down from the skies.
Oh, yeah. It seemed almost like an undead wraith. Yeah. And I think some people made fun of the helmet, but I like the helmet. It was actually kind of weird. It looks like some undead, twisted, hellish Power Ranger mask.
I can see that. You know what makes? I've been watching an anime, last year or so, called Chainsaw Man. And the design of his face is very similar to how that mask looks, just minus a chainsaw sticking out. But like there's teeth in his mask and everything that looks very similar to that. And it's a monster anime and stuff. So to have that monstery feel in this, I totally felt that with him or her. Yes. Who knows?
Yeah. So I really, really like that part. Like that was cool at the end. Like you, Georgia, got really excited. So I'm like, yeah, I kind of want to see this fight. They probably won't have a fight. They'll just all like, she'll be gone or something. I don't know.
Oh,
I like
how,
that.
How pissed. I know. They'll get angry. Episode 5, the aftermath. Aftermath?
Aftermath.
What? It's like
3 years later. Like, wait, what?
Coruscant. You don't tell me it's Coruscant anymore. I get it.
I like that. I liked the red bearded dude with Padawans. Yeah. When you know that guy, when he was like training them, he's like, yeah, check your guard. I'm like, yeah, he's drill sergeant Jedi. I thought he was cool. I thought he had strong presence, man. He played the drill sergeant. I thought, I like that. Pip did a cuties. And I'm like, I don't like that. That was so cute. But that, okay. And I do, I like Basil Basil.
You do?
Yeah.
Yeah, I do. I mean, look, I like it. Look. George Lucas has a kid element to Star Wars, especially beginning with the Ewoks. And Caravan of Courage is the best Star Wars movie. Fight me. There are two Ewok movies made in the 80s. Caravan of Courage and Part 2 is called Battle for Endor. I don't think Disney remembers them, so I'm saying they're canon. Yeah. Still. Like, they are Disney canon. So those are, I think they probably got rated higher on Rotten Tomatoes than Acolyte. But anyway, shout out to Caravan of Courage.
You're my friend.
Friend.
So yeah, the bearded dude, the new little creature, and yeah, the lightsaber withdrawal and the Dark Master coming in like a wraith, like a Nazgul. I like those moments.
I also love seeing that bad guy fall and good. Float down. I was like, whoa, like that gave me a little bit of a shiver. And I like the mask too. I like that it looks like horror. Like it's like a horror yeah. mask. So you see that in a yeah. horror movie. It looks like a teethy grin. It almost looks like an alien head. Like it looks yeah. very, it looks very, I don't know, it's not like xenomorphy, but it looks, there's something about it that looks like a creepy, smiley alien horror. I really like that. I still think it's one of the witches. I still think it is.
Like,
I'm not reading anything about episodes before they come out. I'm just going in blind when they come out. But I almost feel like the next episode, because I know it left us on such like a cliffhanger. It was like, oh my god, who is this person? I almost feel like it's going to be another flashback the next episode. Oh, I think the yeah. next episode is going to be another flashback. That. We're going to find out what's going to happen actually with the witches and with May. And then we're going to see like one of the witches survive. And then we'll be like, oh, is that the bad guy? And then they're going to like expose like maybe the bad guy later or something. Or maybe it'll be right where they left off. And then the bad guy's going to take off the mask. And it's going to be like the mom or something like that. And then it's like, oh, and then it'll be a flashback. It'll go right to it or something.
That's what I feel like. It's I got be. Two bad guy theories.
Okay.
And I kind of had the feeling in the third episode, but now it's really coming even more after this one. Because I kind of had a thought that Khmer could be the person. He could be the master. Because kind of like a Batman thing, we haven't seen them together in the same place. You know, we've seen May with the master, but we haven't seen May, him, and the master together. You know, and what a coincidence he gets, you know, put in that little trap that she set up. And he's not around for when the master's there. Like, why would the master be on that planet if her job is to kill that Jedi?
Yeah.
You know? And the only person that knew that she was going to do her new plan and turn herself in was him.
Mm-hmm.
You know? So it really just puts a target on him as being the master. Before him, I was kind of thinking it was Mother Quarrel, the mother with the horns, because we never saw her during the demise of episode 4. I mean, wait, episode we on now? It's episode 4. Episode 3, we saw them all die. Yeah, so yeah, those are my thoughts. Yeah, on who, but I'm leaning more toward Khmer right now.
Those are my two thoughts as well, actually, the candidates for the master.
Yeah.
For those reasons, exactly. Oh, 100%.
Yeah.
Yeah, especially since May left.
Get a room!
May left Khmer hanging. Oh, May's like, I'm gonna turn myself into the Jedi, do the good thing, and leave you in alone, hanging upside down in this dark, deathly jungle place. So maybe it's him.
Well, because think of right now that the show is mirroring a lot of Star Wars that we've experienced so far. That's the thing. There's not a lot of originality with this show. You know, there's something we've seen before. So I think it's copying like the Palpatine aspect. You know, when you watch the prequels, if you've never seen Star Wars and the prequels is your entry, you are supposed to be taken by surprise that Palpatine was the bad guy, you know, grooming Anakin the whole time. And to find out that he's the one orchestrating, like, that was a big deal. I could see them doing that same thing with this, where, like, she's never going to suspect that the person grooming her is the little lowlife guy who seems like a chump. You know, he seems like nothing.
I was thinking Coral. Until this episode.
Yeah,
because we don't see Coral's dead body, and Coral would seem to have a motive to, you know, attack the Jedi, and she looks like Darth Maul's race. So
exactly. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Do you think they would, because you guys have these really good ideas, do you think they would have the same ideas, or are they going to make it like something more on the nose?
Well, because it has to be someone obvious. That's the thing. And those two seem like the most obvious candidates. As opposed to some like someone out of the blue that we would never expect.
It's Snoke.
Yeah.
So let's get into our dislikes then, Rob. What did you dislike about it?
So my overall dislike is the normie dislike everyone has, which is it's like the CW. And I used to watch a lot of like Arrow and DC shows. So yeah, but the writing is awkward, and they tell you how they're feeling very directly over and over. And the acting along with the writing and the dialogue is poor. It's sometimes kind of cringy. There are little moments where I'm just consistently like, wait, where is this coming from? So, you know, Jackie says to Osha at one point, you know, you can tell me you'll miss me when Osha wants to leave. And I'm like, wait, you guys have a relationship? I didn't really see much going on here. That just the lines like that. Another line was Osha says, I'll look you up if she comes back to Coruscant.
Yeah.
And those are those lines, George, that you're talking about that sound like everyday speech that we use today.
Yeah.
And how do you look someone up in Coruscant? It just seems weird. It's like, I'll look you up. That may sound kind of petty, but again, death by a thousand cuts, these things kind of pile up over and over and over. I found that the scene with the Jedi planning on what to do was kind of stiff and, again, very graceless. They just show the faces of the murdered Jedi kind of just floating there for a while. I'm like, what? Just like, man, they're dead. Leave them alone. And I forget who the Jedi is, and the green girl.
Yeah.
Tough green lady.
I remember him.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. They're Yoda, pretty much.
They're Yoda. Like, correct me if I'm wrong, but they kept asking her, what are we going to do if May becomes violent? And she says, I don't expect it'll come to that.
Yeah.
You should have a plan. What do you mean you don't expect? Like, this is bad leadership.
Mm-hmm.
The decision-making doesn't seem rational. Or
maybe, like, she's the bad guy.
Oh, my gosh.
I mean, I don't like her, so that's possible.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah. So again, overall, like, the writing and the acting, I think that May, when May's in her, like the actress who plays May, when May's in her, like, mean, bad girl, she cocks her head.
Yeah.
She's like, oh, I'm a bad character, and just kind of cocking the head for a while. And she's like, all right, she means business when that head's cocked. So yeah, overall, just the acting and nonsensical decisions just really felt amateurish and cringy and would take me out of the show. Mm. And George, your expertise in, you know, filmmaking, I think maybe you'd pick up on these kind of the bad writing moves more than I do. Mine's just sort of vague, like, I don't like that. It feels cringy.
But that says a lot, though, to me. You know what I mean? Like, this is the kind of stuff, like, whenever we're on the Tuesday show, me, Dan, and Jose are freaking ripping apart on that kind of stuff. And so, like, when someone who isn't necessarily looking for it is just there for a good time, you're seeing it, that kind of proves the point. You know, all three of us come from different angles of how this writing is, and all of us feel the exact same way. That's bad. That's really bad. And I was feeling it even more too with this episode, because to double back on everything you're saying, it also goes into just the lore. The High Republic is supposed to be only 100 years before the prequels. But if you go back to the Old Republic, which is like thousands of years beforehand, we had Sith, we had other like Force users. They're talking about this separate entity here and her being trained as if they're not aware that other Force entities like the Sith could exist. They're like, who could it be? It's like, you guys don't know who it could be, honestly? Who else has red lightsabers? I'm like, are we serious here? Now, granted, they haven't seen the person with the right lightsaber yet. I will, you know, give that. But just the fact that they don't even use the terms. Like, that kind of was bothersome to me, where they're never going to think to say the word, you know? Or it would be nice to say if they use it, they say, like, what if it's a Sith? And they're like, we don't speak of the Sith, you know? Like, just to make it seem hushed, so that's why we haven't heard about it. But, like, they're pretending like it don't exist, which has felt so odd and out of place.
What were they referring to when they said Splinter Order?
It seemed like they almost like they were talking about, like, maybe like a almost like a separate Jedi, you know, sect of sorts, you know, like maybe people who were Jedi and just you know, cut off because they didn't want to follow that way. Because the Jedi do seem very much orthodox in what they do. Like, this is the way. There is no other way. And that's that. You know, so I could see them, like, someone like an Osha being like, I learned some stuff, but I think there's more, and just going off on their own.
Yeah, I think a little bit more insight into that in the, you know, in the dialogue would have been helpful. Like, it's just, there's not a lot of clarity on what there's not a lot of world building to orientate yourself in this universe. We get this, you know, a few comments about the thread, and I would like a little bit more of an awareness of where we are in the Republic, in the galaxy. It feels very almost small. The stakes feel pretty low, actually, ultimately. Yeah. And the actors involved in this conflict are pretty limited. That is fine. You can do that. But I still would like some fleshing out of where we are in Star Wars right now.
Yeah. And it feels like the characters don't know anything, like, especially from the Jedi side of things. Like, there's so much they just don't know. Like, if this lady, the Green Lady, like, I'm not even caring to learn her name, but, like, if the Green Lady's supposed to be our Yoda, Yoda knew a lot of shit. Dude's like 800 years old. He knows a lot, which it kind of bothers me that he's not even, like, an essence of him around, you know? Like, granted, in one hand, it's like, it's nice to have new characters, but it's like, Yoda's been around forever. He'd be there. Yeah. He would be a part of this council. Like, he would be giving his wisdom of what to do. You know, so like having him not around feels odd. In the earlier episodes, there was talk about, like, we can't let this get out because, you know, we're kind of under scrutiny, or like the faith in us is kind of going down. I kind of want to see, like, the Senate and, like, the other political figures that they're connected with and what's happening there. Like, there was two murders of two Jedi. You're telling me that hasn't gotten out to the public yet? Like, maybe that starts seeping out now, and they're like, you know, we're not handling this quick enough, and now they're starting to question us. Like, maybe we see some of that, see some of the distrust that the public has now in the Jedi because this is happening, and something like this hasn't happened in a millennia or whatever. You know, like, none of that's coming out, and that seems weird now.
In the second episode, they mentioned political enemies of the Jedi, I believe.
Yeah, yeah.
And then in this one, they said it can cause fear if, you know, murders of Jedi got out, news of that. But I agree, like, who are their potential enemies? Who are some of these actors in the background that they have to be worried about?
Yeah.
Some of that would be nice. I think that they should have had the flashback in episode 3. Like, a whole episode that's one big flashback. I think they could have shortened that.
Oh, for sure.
No, maybe not. Yeah. But I thought maybe they could have really shortened the flashbacks because I lost contact with some characters, like Yord, who's my favorite, and Jackie. I actually like Yord. You know, the actor said some ridiculous things about Star Wars, like Anakin blew up the Death Star.
Well, Anakin just killed a whole Death Star. How many people died on that?
But he seems to play his character with conviction.
Yeah, yeah, I can agree with that. The one out in interviews who seems like the stupidest has been the best out of all the characters. It's very true. Mm-hmm.
I think so. He seems to enjoy playing his character.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Like, he had a lot. I gotta give him this. In his interview, he has a lot of passion. There's lots of passion and conviction in and how he talks about Star Wars. It's all wrong, but the passion's there. But the
You
know, and you see it in his performances. It's so true. Like, he's the character that you kind of question. It's like, could the dark side get to him?
Mm-hmm.
You know. Yeah. And it's good. It's good having that kind of, like, conflict as the viewer to wonder. It's like, is he in jeopardy of going the other way because of all of this stuff? Like, it's almost like he's so on the path that he's almost too on it. You know, like, he doesn't give any sway.
I agree. I agree exactly. I kept thinking of him as, like, lawful good in D&D terms, but could he become lawful evil because he's so lawful and so strict and rigid?
Yeah.
Could he be tempted away, you know, on the path, you know, such a kind of a rigid mindset? But I like it when he's on screen. I like it when he talks. I'm like, oh, there's my bro Yord.
All right. Well, what I didn't like was, well, the first one I had was the Star Wars scene transitions were overkill. And that was actually one of my notes for the first episode too, but I didn't talk about it, but there was a lot in the first episode. And I thought it was just like, you don't have to do it every single scene change, every single one. Like, it's just, you don't need it all the time. I know you're trying to like be doing callbacks, but it was just a little distracting. Also, I hated the line when May said, "I can't believe my sister is Jedi scum." I'm like, okay. Just the way she said it was so passionless. So I find like her delivery when she's May or Osha is so dry, and there's nothing behind it. Like, it's just no emotion. I can't get attached to her. I can't get attached to their story. I can't get attached to the conflict between them. I don't care if they rekindle their, like, I don't care about any of that, because I find them so boring and dull. And I can't believe my sister is Jedi scum. Like, is that a term that the whole galaxy uses all the time?
Rebel,
like,
scum. They use scum for 300 years. It's just a,
right. But they just, yeah, they just attach it to like Jedi or Rebel, and it's like, or Sith. Like, is that Sith scum? Are we gonna hear about Sith scum at some point?
It's a galactic scum meme.
Okay, when they, this is another thing, how they, the script is so on the nose, telling you like you're stupid. When they lit up, I don't know if this even is gonna come into play in one of the next episodes, but those like cicada things that came out, that cicada, and then he lit up the lightsaber, and then they just said it went straight for the lightsaber. It is attracted to light. Why did that need to be said? Why didn't they have a scene where just the thing went for a light source? And it was just said so stupidly, like, so like, you're dumb. Did you notice that it went straight for the lightsaber? It must be attracted to light. And like, where that thing was, that thing was no longer part of the episode. It's going to be in another episode. Why introduce those characters? Just because Osha touched the thing. Osha touched it. And it's like, well, that looks like a cocoon. Like, I would think, well, damn, there might be something in that thing. She's like, oh, I sensed it. I sensed there was something in it. Therefore, I have all my powers back, and I'm ready to be a Jedi because I sensed that there was a living thing in there. When you could have sensed it for a billion other reasons. But she's like, I sensed that there was something in there. Now it is dead. I'm ready to be a Jedi again. It's like, what? It was just so like, really? And then May all of a sudden's like, I'm turning good now. There was no struggle. It didn't show any tension. It was just like May suddenly was like, oh, I'm actually, I miss my sister. Bye, dude. I'm abandoning my whole training that I went for years, and my sister's alive. And now it was just so like sudden, and like, this makes no sense. Osha's like, my sister's alive. Peace, May. I never want to see you again. And May's like, oh, my sister's alive. That's all I need now. Forget everything else I've learned. Forget all my hate. Ugh.
I agree with you. I felt the same, actually. These transitions happen so quickly, and they just tell you about them.
Yes.
So the subtleties of those tensions aren't expressed in the acting, body language, facial features, you know, quiet moments. Just tell you, I have changed now, quick and very, very abruptly. Like, well, wait. So I agree with you on those points, those very quick whiplash changes. Obviously, that creature can fly towards a lightsaber because it's bright. Also, with Soul, he just kills it. And there is no like fight with this beetle. I don't even know if it's going to come back. So what's the purpose of the scene other than to get Osha? What did she say? I sense this thing, and then now it's dead, as if she was upset that it died.
Her fault. Like, it's
it's the gross ass beetle thing. Like, it's okay that it got killed. Cares. It's not your fault. Big cicada. See,
I was mixed on it because I felt like they were too quick to want to kill it. You know, like, they didn't know the true danger that it could have proposed, or maybe didn't, you know, propose to them. And I always felt the Jedi are going to look for an option that's not death. You know, like, it was just too quick to want to do that. I feel that the whole point of pointing out that it's like, oh, it got attracted to the light. There was a lot more of them. Like, they made a point to show the trees with all of those cocoons and everything. Mm-hmm. I think they're not going to be able to fight this Sith Master. And all of their lightsabers being on at that point is probably going to attract a bunch of them. Mm-hmm. And that's how they'll be able to avoid that fight.
I just kind of wish that maybe that if that's going to happen in like the next episode, if that's going to happen where like all the lightsabers and the bugs are attracted to it and then they can't escape, that should have been in this episode. Because next week we're going to be like, oh yeah. And it's not going to be as impactful. And same with like, I found that, like Rob said last week, that flashback could have been like 15 minutes. And then we could have had a current time flashback, then now again. So we didn't, like you said, lose that connection with the, well, this very small connection that we had with the characters as like them now, which I also felt the same thing you felt, Rob. I also didn't like another stupid thing about the Jedi. How they're like, oh, Basil ran off again. We lost him again. It's like, why are you holding on to this thing? You lose this guy all the time. Why are you using this thing then? You're Jedi.
Why are they not keeping up with him?
Well, yeah, like get your shit together, Jedi. What are you doing? Oh, we lost our tracker. Like, again? Like, give up. Like, go find a new rat. Like, go find something else. Some sort of, I'm sure there's like some sort of droid out there that's like a heat seeking somewhat something. Stupid. Why are the Jedi so dumb?
You know, I will say, since we brought up episode 3 a bit, I think of a technique that's used in like movies and in shows when it comes to flashbacks. And it's a technique that I have gripes with, but when used right, it's very effective. And it's when you intercut flashbacks with present day, and you try to use it to mirror whatever is happening within the present day so that things kind of make sense. And then you don't lose that momentum with the characters that you're with, you know?
Right.
And that would have been a good time to do it, I think, was utilize that back and forth within moments. And that's a good time to kind of use the Star Wars transition too. Because when we see the transition, we know like, okay, we're going back to the other time now.
Preach, George. Like, yeah, yes.
It's funny. I had thoughts of last week's episode too, and that chant kind of popped in my head randomly.
Oh, me too, all day.
The power of one, the power of two.
It was just so random. Like I was just like at my desk and I'm drawing, and then the power of one, the power of two, the power of many could not stop a fire. of many could not stop four Jedi. It's like, you guys got to change your motto, right? It is not working.
So throughout the day, it would pop in my head, the power of many. I can't sing. And you know, Beth would say, hey, would you like some hot dogs? Would you like one or two? And I'd be like, I'll have many. And I was like, coming in my head,
the power of many.
Yeah, every time I hear the word many, I'm like, like that scream in the background.
Yeah.
But it's been plaguing my thought.
Rob will text me, power of many. Just no. Get out of here.
I'm ascending.
I guess it worked. They got into our heads.
Yeah, well.
Yeah, it's working.
We can all agree that it's anticlimactic. There's no tension. The script is bad. The acting is bad. All that stuff, right? No passion. We can agree that all this so far is this show, right? Right?
Yeah. And Jedi are super easy to kill.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Because they killed a Jedi Wookiee and we don't even get to see it.
Yeah. He's just a steaming slash in his chest.
Wookiees are hard to beat even if they're not Jedi.
and this is a Jedi Wookiee.
No problem. Not going to worry about it.
Again, this is a little, just little things, man, but the Jedi clothing in Coruscant is just too clean and crisp.
I thought about what you had brought up last plastic time, and I was seeing them on the ship all wearing the exact same uniform. And I was like, oh, so boring. Like, have some creativity. Everyone should have its own thing. And I start noticing again that the fact that there's no white Jedi around, right? And then it's the comedic thought process that kind of pops in my head, where it's just like, well, see, all of the diversity obviously messed up Star Wars in this timeline. And that's why we end up getting Obi-Wan and Qui-Gon and stuff like that. Try to fix things, you know.
Oh, my God.
Create balance to the Force.
Well, I was thinking about how Osha and May are Force babies.
Mm. Oh,
and that isn't developed here in episode 4, and you know, maybe it doesn't need to be, but it seems to me that it's a huge deal that a person created life.
They don't really say exactly how yet. They haven't said exactly how.
My guess is that she manipulated the midichlorians to conceive the twins, and I'm wondering if the Emperor or Pelagius learns something from her or from them. Because the Emperor and Pelagius, his master, want to find the key to immortality. And in response to their experiments to pursue immortality, the Force kind of responds by making Anakin. So Anakin has no father. Well, Anakin's specialness has been diminished because Mei and Osha are made through the Force without a father. Mm-hmm. So I feel like that kind of diminishes Anakin a little bit, perhaps. But it seems to me a big deal that a Force user can create life. This can lead to a whole host of problems in the universe. If you have people being able to make Jedi or Force users who can become good. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Force users. Mm-hmm. So maybe if the witches are known for having the ability to pluck the thread to create living Force sensitive beings, the Jedi might have a point in wanting to make sure this doesn't get out of hand.
Yeah. Of course.
If they know, they don't seem to know about it. Right? Wasn't there a line, if the Jedi found out how you were made?
Yeah, they wanted to keep it secret from the Jedi. That was very
important. So they don't know that.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay.
There's been a lot of talk of like how that aspect kind of breaks Star Wars. Playing devil's advocate, and with what kind of what you're saying, to some extent it almost reinforces Star Wars lore because of the Anakin thing. The mm-hmm. big thing with Anakin is that, like you said, he brings balance to the Force. If they were created, and let's say they become evil or whatever, like, and there seem like there's more evil forces behind them, then it makes total sense that he is the answer to that situation. Granted, yes, he goes to the dark side, but he comes back. Mm-hmm. He comes back and he creates other Force users that help bring balance.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Yeah.
And this is, of course, taking out the new trilogy. Exclude the new trilogy, which definitely breaks all of canon and Force stuff. I feel like prequels with this kind of feels more cohesive than the new trilogy to some extent.
Yeah, no, I totally agree with you. I don't think, again, like we talked about, I don't think episode 3 breaks the Force, assuming that the witches are interpreting the Force in that thread way. And even if that is actually how it operates, it might only be a piece of a larger puzzle, one aspect of it. But as it stands now, the way I see it is that the witches think about the Force in this sort of thread magic way that we talked about. And so it hasn't really destroyed the Force, and making Force babies has not destroyed the Force, I think. I think that seems to be a possibility given the fact that there's midichlorians and that Anakin did it or had it happen to him.
Yeah.
And the Emperor wants to seek immortality. So there is something about, well, the Force intrinsically related to life and people wanting to harness the power of life. And this is an ambiguous moral situation. So yeah, I agree. I don't think this undermines Star Wars.
Yeah. And to the same thing, like Rey was made by Palpatine through a whatever mm-hmm. cloning process, whatever. He created a Force sensitive person. You know, he created Snoke, another Force sensitive.
Oh, yeah.
So it's kind of like, it's been happening for a bit. I don't ever recall anyone complaining when that happened. They were just complaining that he was back, and that was it.
Yeah.
Star Wars has an interesting theme about generation, like life production, because you have cloning and you have the clones, you have Anakin, you have the Emperor, you have Rey, like you pointed out, and Snoke, you have the two Force babies. And then the heavy thing of a family. You know, I am your father, you know, these generations, which I am so upset that they wiped out the Solo and Skywalker bloodlines and only kept the Palpatine bloodline.
Yeah.
I find that disgusting.
Especially I went off about material there too.
Yeah, totally. So that's heartbreaking. I just don't like that. I think keeping these bloodlines has, a lot of ways you can go with that.
I wonder if we're just all tainted to think that everything that they're doing is just destroying Star Wars more. they ruined so many things in the new trilogy for us that now when we see things in other shows, we're like, well, that ruins this and that's going to ruin this, even though some of the stuff might make sense if you actually think about it. But we're so angry and hurt by what they did that we're just so mad when we see anything anymore, you know? I didn't feel that episode 3 destroyed the Force or rewrote or anything like that either. I'm only upset that the writing and acting and everything is so bad. Like, so bad. Like, I feel like it could have been done so much better somehow.
We all love Star Wars, and I think all of us like to think of ourselves as a Jedi. Like, we'd want to be a Jedi if we were going to be in the Star Wars world, because they're what's right. They're the right path. You know, humans are intrinsically going to be good as opposed to being evil. We want to do the right thing. But yet, when it comes to Star Wars, we kind of just all get pissed off and get into our feelings and we become the Sith.
Mm. Thank you, Kathleen Kennedy. Given you are Palpatine. Hate. You did this to us.
We've been primed to read things in the worst possible way. And we can't trust the writers when they get near these things like the Force or the nature of the Republic or how the Jedi operate. I'm just like, I think you're going to screw it up. I think sometimes you might want to piss people off and you just don't have the creativity to make it interesting. I don't want the current writers to build this world. I don't trust them for those reasons. I get almost not like nervous, but on edge when they start delving into these topics. I'm like, you're just gonna start messing it up. And so far, I don't think they've really messed it up.
Not the delivery in the grand way that everyone thinks. Yeah, the delivery is bad. Yeah,
really bad delivery. It is bad. Like as a show, it's not very good. I don't know. Like what are people rating it right now on Rotten Tomatoes? Robbie texts me every day.
Oh, it's like 13% last I checked.
Is it down to 13?
The viewer rating was around 13 last I saw, and it was like 86 for critics.
Ow!
Yeah. Here's the funny thing, right? As the viewers, we're rating bombing it, right? But isn't there like an opposite effect where like maybe the critics are also elevating it to a place where it doesn't belong? Like no one wants to see it. Like they see the conspiracy that the viewers, we're putting it down way more than it should, but they can't see the possibility of a conspiracy where Disney's paying critics to lie.
Yeah.
Like that can't be a possibility too, you know?
Oh yeah. You have positive review brigading.
Yeah.
It's like the negative. I got audience average score 14%.
Oh, it went up
as of now. And the real critics 84%. And after my review goes up, it'll be 13%, and you can blame me. And the access media has an incentive to inflate the grades, because if they don't, they won't have access to all their exclusives, and therefore they won't have their clicks, and therefore their jobs. Yeah, so
they want to go to those parties.
Yep, get the little Star Wars baggie, get the little interview. So it's intrinsically perverse incentives to not tell the truth. Oh, and if you read the reviews from the real critics, a lot of them are pretty lukewarm. Like, yeah, this show is not that great, but it's fresh.
Yeah.
So they're trying to thread the needle.
Ooh, thread.
The thing.
Thread. I was
chunk. I read a lot of reviews after the first two episodes have come out from the critics. And it just blew my mind that the critics were like, oh, there's such great writing. They're being so intricate and detailed with how they go through this world and these characters. And I think to myself, like, as a critic, part of your job is to also be a good writer. And so in turn to know good writing when you see it. And it's just like, well, this has a lot about you. If you think that this is really good writing, like you shouldn't be a critic if you have nothing critical to say about this show at all. That's what I loved about watching Siskel and Ebert growing up as a kid, is that these were two guys who got along to some extent but also didn't, and they would go at it with each other and just tear apart films. One might love the film, but the other one's like, something's good there, but we're going to ignore the elephant in the room where this part was really bad, and this is like, they're just tearing the thing apart on a critical level of how the thing should have been made as a film from every level. And I feel like that doesn't happen anymore. Like the critics are just almost afraid to just give real thoughts, or they just don't know. Maybe they truly just don't understand what good is anymore.
What is good?
What is good?
Thank you guys for watching this episode of Marie Plays It All, the Acolyte episode 4, right? Review? It was episode 1 and 2, and I get screwed up thinking about it now. This is episode 3, but it was, yeah, because they had 2.
There were many.
Too many already. You can find more of our content on our YouTube channel, Not a Strong Start. You can follow us on Instagram and Twitter, Not a Strong Start. You can like and subscribe and all that good stuff and comment down below. And you can listen to us anywhere you listen to your podcasts. And you can follow me on Instagram at Marie Plays It All. Where can we follow you, George? I say Georgie. Follow me.
Oh, don't do that.
Georgie.
You can follow me at Nicolopoulos on Twitter or Instagram.
Nice. And never stop playing and never stop. One, two, too manying it in your head. I don't know what else to say.
Never stop sensing it.
Are you?